This podcast is brought to you in association with La Taverna Friuli, the definitive podcast on the wines of Friuli Venezia Giulia. La Taverna Friuli is a proud supporter of the Italian Wine Podcast. I'm host Wayne Young, and if you're a fan of the Italian Wine Podcast and want to take a deep dive into this fascinating wine region, visit latavernafriuli.com or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome to this special Italian Wine Podcast broadcast. This episode is a recording off Clubhouse, the popular drop-in audio chat. This Clubhouse session was taken from the Wine Business Club and Italian Wine Club. Listen in as wine lovers and experts alike engage in some great conversation on a range of topics in wine. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through ItalianWinePodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. And remember to subscribe and rate our show wherever you tune in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another installment of Clubhouse Ambassadors Corner. So we don't have a lot of people from the audience today, but thank you guys for being here. This conversation is recorded and we will put this up on Italian Wine Podcast. It's actually our favorite show on Italian Wine Podcast since we make shows on a daily basis. So this one goes up every Thursdays. And so we have partnered with Wayne Young, and he is actually from La Taverna Friuli podcast, and we do like one episode per month. So that's the partnership that we're doing with La Taverna Friuli podcast.
And I'm super happy to be here.
Helping us in supporting Italian podcast. Sorry, I babble too much, but anyway, I will continue. So before we proceed, I will introduce Wayne Young. He is a U.S. expat living in Friuli Venezia Giulia since 2002. He is self-employed wine marketing and communications consultant, wine educator, and events coordinator, and the host of the La Taverna Friuli podcast. So right now, you have selected Filippo Butussi from Valentino Butussi Winery.
So exactly.
Yes. Why do you have him as your favorite producer for today?
Well, Filippo and I have a very long history together. I've known Filippo probably for about 20 years. We met in the winery, but we really became friends during a tasting group that we had many, many years ago in the Foresteria of Bastianich. Mm-hmm. And I was always really, really impressed with his wines and also his communication skills, his very big, flamboyant personality. I really like Filippo's energy, very, very strong, very big energy. So I really like Filippo. He's a very tall dude. So it's always fun to speak with Filippo, taste his family's wines, and just taste wines in general with him because he's got a great palate and he's a lot of fun to hang out with. So, and I love the wines from Valentino Butussi, and I've seen them grow and improve over the years, and I think that has a lot to do with Filippo.
I am looking forward for an energetic conversation this evening. So let's see. And I also look forward to know more about the winery of Valentino Butussi. So when did you discover the wines of Valentino Butussi?
Like I said, I discovered his wines when he started coming and tasting with us in our little tasting group many years ago.
So that was like the first time you tasted his wines?
Probably earlier. I probably tasted them earlier than that. But when I got to know him, I got to know his wines much better. I don't remember. It's been so many years that I've been in Friuli that I don't remember when I tasted everybody's wine the first time. But for sure, I think if not the first time in the tasting group, then very, very shortly before, I think I tasted some of Filippo's wines.
If you want, I can help you.
Yeah? Do you remember the first time?
No, I don't. But in fairness, you was English professor of my sister. Probably, maybe you have tried the first bottles with my sister.
You know what? That actually could be true.
Yeah.
That actually could be true. Yeah. So yes, that's true. Because back in the days when I used to teach English, yes, his sister was one of my students.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know you were teaching before, Wayne.
Many years ago. I was a terrible English teacher, but yes, I was an English teacher for about 4 years.
Okay. So anyway, my last question before I give the floor to you and Filippo, what are the learning objectives that we should expect from this interview?
So I think what I really wanted to do here was talk to Filippo about how his winery developed. And Filippo is very much into this concept of defining the idea of cru in Friuli. So really expressing a certain territory. Now we're talking about Colli Orientali del Friuli, but he's going further and looking for special little microclimates, micro vineyards, places where wines really show a specific personality. So I'm really interested in learning a little bit more about the winery from Filippo, but also diving in a little bit to this this idea of cru and the places that he's discovered that are important in Colli Orientali and in his winery.
Okay, so now I give you the floor, and yeah, the show is yours now, Wayne.
Thank you, Laika. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Laika.
So, Filippo, thanks for coming and hanging out with us today.
Thank you for your invitation. It's always a pleasure.
Pleasure is always mine. So before we get started, tell us a little bit about, you know, the history of your winery, and then we can talk a little bit about you personally. So tell us a little bit about the history of Valentino Buttuzzi.
The story of the winery is really long, and really we don't know many generations, we don't know many times. So we are come back in the history in five generations, because first was, okay, I am Filippo, my father Angelo, my grandfather Valentino, my grand-grandfather Giovanni Battista, and the grand-grand-grandfather was Domenico. So wow. This is we have some information always only about.
And always producers of wine.
More generical, okay. Agriculture, you know, especially Domenico, Giobatta, and Valentino in the first steps. The big changing of this reality is by Angelo, so by my father. So I think the biggest changement is starting when my father have made the first bottles, you know. Okay. Bottles of wine with the label was the first way of the communication that, yes, we are a winery. Our name is Valentino Buttuzzi, and in this time, everything is start.
So Angelo named the winery after his father.
Yeah.
Okay. When did you start bottling wines then? When was that sort of milestone?
Really, without labels in probably 67, okay. 69, but with Buttuzzi labels in 73.
Okay, 73.
Yeah.
That's quite a long history for Friuli.
Last year, 50 years old.
50
years.
Did you have a party?
Yeah.
Not
a party, but we have a degustation. We have opened a bottle from 73.
Was it?
Was unbelievable for to be from 73.
Really?
It was incredible. Yeah, it was always fresh. And logically, you have, really particular flavors because the wine going tertiarization. So spices and was really, really particular, but really drinkable and piacevole, so
pleasant. Okay. So after your dad, obviously, your dad moved along, and now he has you in the winery. You also have two brothers in the winery, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so you all work together. So
yeah,
when did you start getting involved in the winery?
So we have a start, step by step, because I am the oldest of the brothers, and I am the first in really starting the winery. I am start in full working version in 99, but in really like Tobia, because Tobia start quite like me. Mattia is a little bit youngest, because he's 6 years old, younger than me, and for that I've start some years later. Mm-hmm. I think, I think my father have a transmission. So, ci ha trasmesso, come si dice.
He transmitted to us. He passed it down to us.
A really big passion, because we see sometimes, many wineries, the sons, they go in other ways.
They run away.
Yeah. But we... All the brothers, we have a really big passion for this.
So you always wanted to be involved in the family winery. You never thought maybe you wanted to go be,
No, really, I have an experience out of my winery in the first 2 years, because I went to be some experience, but always in other wineries, not in other sectors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you have other experiences outside of Italy or?
Really, when I was really young, in 98, I was in Abbazia di Rosazzo.
Oh, okay.
Not really far from the winery.
No, not outside of Friuli, yeah. But was that with Walter Filipputi?
Yeah, in that time, yeah, of course.
That must have been a great experience.
I was the cellar worker, you know, but it was a really, really nice experience. 1 year, I have worked 1 year in the Abbazia di Rosazzo.
Okay.
It was a really
nice experience. Did you learn a lot there?
Yeah. I think I was really young and they have a really interesting vision for the quality wines in the time. And I think for me was a really important adventure. It was a really important,
Okay. So when you entered into the winery, were there any things that you immediately wanted to change when you wanted to get in? Were you sort of like waiting to sort of kind of move in and start changing things and doing things differently at Valentino Butusi?
Of course, like all the new generation when, start to improve the family business, I think. So you come in the winery with your ideas, you know. Our ideas was immediately really easy to make quality wines. Maybe this affirmation looks really banal, but we have immediately think this is the only one way for to growing up, you know. Mm-hmm. And the first way for improve the quality we have seen is the respect of the climate, so the respect of the terroir. My father was a really good viticulturer, but work in the not traditional, but in the, come si dice, nel...
Conventional,
yeah. Okay. The conventional way. My father don't have the studies for agronomists or enologists, so for that, many in that time, you use the herbicide for cut the grasses and you use some pesticides for the... conflict with the, you know, with botrytis, peronospora, oidio, you know, come si dice, malattie.
The vine diseases.
Vine diseases, yeah.
Yeah.
And the first thing we have think, but we really need, you know, mm-hmm. but in really the Mother Nature don't have the way for solve part of this problem, you know, in his way, you know. For that, we have started to stop with all the chemical things in first with the herbicides and in the second time with pesticides and third time with chemical consummations. So really in for like 5 years, so we think about a little bit and, okay, yes, now we are organic.
Oh, okay.
But we don't have made this way for like certification or for... Only because our idea it was if we want to have high quality in the grape, you need to have high quality in the vines. And for to have high quality in the wines, you need to have a really big balance in your terroir, in your microclimate. Mm-hmm. You need to respect.
Yeah. Okay. So this was sort of your first step. We'll talk more about going organic a little bit later. But so this was one of the first things that you wanted to do when you went in.
Yeah.
Were there any other changes that you wanted to make? Because you were focused mostly in the cellar. And I think it's your brother who does mostly the vineyards. Or am I wrong?
No, that's true. And really, fortunately, we don't know why, but I have a really big passion in the... I am an enologist and I have big passion for the cellar part.
Okay.
Tobias or top agronomist, because it's not possible to make big wines with bad grapes.
Of course.
But fortunately, Tobias, we have really big passion. And really, Mattia, I have particular passion is, you know, administration passion. I think it's not, it's in Italy today, you know, the administration is a little bit complicated, you know.
Probably, just a little bit.
Probably one of the most complicated administration of, I don't know.
Well, it's very often when you find wineries that are set up, if there's only maybe one or two children or partners, one of them normally doesn't want to do the administration, but they're forced to, or you have to hire somebody and it distracts you from your work in the cellar or in the vineyard. So you're lucky that Mattia doesn't mind doing this. He actually enjoys doing this sort of administrative part that frees you up and gives you and Tobia the freedom to do what you do best and what you want to do best. So it's a very lucky situation that you have.
That's really true. And a really true thing is we are in three, but you know, we have our specific sector. So for that, I don't need to know everything about the vineyards because my brother is the expert of the vineyards. So for that, I can put all my concentration, all my mind in the enological part. Mm-hmm. And Mattia don't need to think about the enological part or agronomist part. So Mattia put everything of the energy into organize everything.
Okay.
You know, in the administration. So for that, that is a really bit more easy for all three brothers. Yeah.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Thank goodness your dad had lots of kids.
Sorry?
Thank goodness your dad had lots of sons.
Yeah, yeah.
This way everybody can have their own role. That's great. So just so, because I don't think many people know exactly where you're located, let's talk a little bit about where your winery is. You're in Colli Orientali.
The best place of the world. You know, we are in a small corner of Italy. You know, we are in northeast is the corner. We have the Slovenian border in the east part and the Austria border in north part.
Okay.
But we are really near to the Slovenian border because in the higher is only like 2-3 kilometers.
Yeah, it's very close.
It's really, really close to the Slovenian border. It's really an historical area because, you know, in Aquileia, we have documents speaking about wines like 150 years before Christ.
Wow.
Yeah. And for that, it's a really historical area. Mm-hmm. But in really always Rosazzo, the specific area, you know, we have some, come si dice, resti archeologici.
Ah, some ruins, archaeological ruins.
Yeah. About the urns where the Roman makes the amphoras for to put inside the wine.
Where is this?
Down to the Rosazzo.
Ah, from Rosazzo.
Yeah, it's ruins. Yeah. If
I remember correctly, I remember you took some journalists or some bloggers to a vineyard and you literally found pieces of amphora.
Yeah,
on the ground, just laying.
Yeah. You go, and you pick up. You find a full of pieces. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, unbelievable. Long history here. But what about your specific area? I mean, let's talk a little bit about Colli Orientali. But I want to know about your little part of Colli Orientali. Mm. What's special about that?
So logically, when we have started the winery was not the winery we have today. So my father have end of 90s, 7 hectares. Now the winery is 25 hectares, okay? We have worked too much and we have invested too much in the improving of the winery. Logically, all the vineyards is not in a single place, but we have different place because, you know, the principal hills here is the Rosazzo Hills in the west part and the San Biagio Hill, or Gramogliano Hill in the west part and the east part. Mm-hmm. We have the our vineyards have different position in the different hills sides.
Okay.
And always some vineyards is in the valley part, okay? In the middle of these two hills. And I think for our winery, this is a really important value.
Mm-hmm.
Because in different size you have different results because the soil is not same. When you change the hillside, the soil change. When you're in the valley, the soil change. But don't change only the soil. Change the soil and change the microclimate that you have in this vineyard. Because in the valley, for example, you have more excursions because we are really near to the mountains. And during the night, the cold air come down to the mountains and this air go down in the valleys. So for that, in the valleys, we have really strong excursion. In summer, we can have during the day 35 degrees and during the night 15 degrees or lower.
Okay.
You know.
And you feel this more in the lower parts of the vineyards rather than on the hillsides.
Yeah, because in Friuli, the hills is not really high, you know. Maybe the people don't know, but the temperature go down 1 Celsius degrees every 100 meters.
Okay.
But here, from the valley to the top part, sometimes is not 100 meters. So, okay. For example, my valley is around 90 meters on the sea level. Rosazzo is under 60, so it's only 70 meters. So,
okay.
So you can have a different temperature, but 0.7. Okay. So it's not really... that don't have a really big influence in the wine production. But in the valley, this really cold temperature during the night have a really big influence. And for us, this is really important, especially for some special wines we make. We have seen the strong exclusion. It's really, really interesting. Mm.
So it seems like your winery has different sites, different characteristics, different soil, different microclimates. So is this kind of diversity in the types of vineyards that you have what made you start thinking about this whole idea of cru and special sites and selection wines? Is this where that sort of idea came from?
Allora, the idea really come from for a really banal
reason.
A reason. You know, when I was starting the winery, I was young, and not Wayne young, but young. But you are scared to make errors, you know.
Uh-huh.
For that, what you start to be, I have started to make the different vinification for all different vineyards because. Logically, in different positions, you have different maturation moments. And in really, you have different characteristics. And, you know, the enologist, not enologist, the enologist è l'enologo.
Yes.
L'enologia, come si dice?
Enology.
The enology is not a really pure science because, you know, 50% of the enology is a mystery, fortunately, probably. And for that, sometimes, quite every time we hope everything go in the straight way, but sometimes a fermentation can be in the wrong way. And if you split your vinification in small vinifications, you know, if some vinification don't go in the wrong way, you can decide to put out maybe this part and to use for the bottling only the right part with right vinification. So for that, for example, to make only one vinification for the total Sauvignon Blanc, for example, it's really dangerous, you know. If
okay.
you don't go in the right way, it's
you
really dangerous,
everything.
You know.
In English, we call that putting all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. It's better to put in different baskets.
Okay.
Italian Wine Podcast, brought to you by Mama Jumbo Shrimp.
In the first step, that was for split the
risk.
The risk.
Okay.
But during this splitting, we have learned many things.
Mm-hmm.
We have learned the maturation is not same in the same moment in the different hillsides or in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
But we have understand in different parts, you have different expression of the variety and different expression of terroir.
Do you have an example of that? Something that you could...
Absolutely. Yeah. For example, when we are in Rosazzo, in the south part,
mm-hmm.
sometimes the maturation is a little bit faster because it's a really sunny place for it to go faster and the improving of sugar. So for that, the alcoholic potential for this for this wine is highest.
Okay.
In the valley, for example, with the strong excursions, during the night is really cold. So for that, the maturation goes really, really, really slow. So for that, sometimes the harvest is 10 days later than the Sauvignon in Rosazzo.
Mm-hmm.
And is later and with 1 point of alcohol lower.
Okay.
Okay. Really totally different.
Mm-hmm.
In really, we have seen in this fresh place, this long maturation have more time for to improve inside to the grapes, inside to the juice, more you know, more elements of the terroir.
Okay.
Because the maturation have more time for to bring out the micro elements to the soil and to move these micro elements in the grape. If this process is too fast, the vine don't have the time for move all these micro elements in the grapes.
Okay.
When the maturation go really slow, you have more time for to put all these micro elements, to find all these micro elements in the grape.
And so what is the result in the wine itself? When you say the having more of these micro elements, what does it give to the wine?
The result in the hand, you have in some vineyards, the result is a really great product, but in direction of the variety. So you can make a really big Sauvignon Blanc or a Ribolla Gialla or Friulano, but you know, the principal expression of that wine is the varietal of the grapes.
Okay.
You know, flavored, really full flavor, sometimes full body, but sometimes you don't have the real expression of the terroir. When you are, for example, in this fresh place, sometimes the expression of the variety, so the flavors of the Sauvignon or the banana of the Pinot Grigio, mm-hmm. is not really... you don't have a really full expression of the fruits of the grape variety,
okay.
but you have an highest expression of the terroir.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
The wines comes totally different.
Really?
Yeah.
So totally. You have more of an expression of the place and less of an expression of the grape variety.
Yeah.
What's more important for you, the place or the grape?
I think both the things is really important. I think for me personally, is more important the terroir expression.
Okay.
But in really, we are in a big terroir always for the varietal expression, because I think, you know, the flavors you can have in the Tokaj Friulano, in the Friulano, is not possible to find in other areas in the world. Is expression of terroir or is expression of the variety? I think both together, but only here the fruits of the Friulano come out to the wine glass, to your glass in mm-hmm. that really strong power, you know, flavors.
Right.
You know? But like for the Sauvignon Blanc, I think the Sauvignon Blanc flavors, for example, in Friuli, is different from other place in the world. I think we have a complexity in the, you know, tropical fruits and some wild grasses like peppermint and tomato leaves. And
mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that these varietal flavors is always different to other parts in the world. And I think in Friuli have a really great expression. But when you go in the real territorial flavors, it's come out something magical. Mm-hmm. So it's really, you don't drink only good wine, you drink an emotion, because you find in your glass something unique, because you smell the micro elements, you smell the wild grasses you can find in the vineyard, and logically you have the flavors of the variety, but you see in near to these flavors is something special. This mm-hmm. special is your terroir. That
okay.
only the terroir make us different to the rest of the world.
So can you tell me about, like, maybe in your vineyard, a specific place that you feel is specifically suited to a certain type of grape or grapes variety? Because I want to talk a little bit about your selection wines, and they
yeah.
tend to be based on place. So is there, like, tell me about, like, one place where you say, okay, that place is the perfect place for...
Yeah,
this grape.
And really, the special place sometimes is only special, not only for one variety,
but for all.
Maybe not for all, but for different varieties. For example, one of our top area is the vineyard of Madonna d'Aiuto.
Okay.
It's a valley in the middle of the Rosazzo Hill and the Gramogliano Hill. This valley is really special because underground you have the flesh, but upside
on top
you have a full of calcaric rocks, okay, because it's
so
a
like
river.
Limestone.
Sorry?
Like limestone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because in the middle is a river, and in probably in million years, these stones is coming down to the mountains.
Okay. Know?
For that, you have the part of the Mars down there, but upstairs you have all this mineral part, this calcaric part. And really special in this soil, we have the springs,
the natural springs.
You know, natural springs. It's
so water is coming up out of the ground.
Yeah, the water don't come out. But when we have moved the soil for to see what was down there, we have seen the water is come up like half meter to the top.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And for that, this water is coming up and down. And this water solve of the micro elements, micro minerals, and make these micro minerals at available for the vines.
Okay.
And I think for that, in this special valley, the quality of the wines is unbelievable, because you find really all the micro elements you can have in the soil you find in the wine.
Mm-hmm.
So in these valleys, for example, we make the Sauvignon Cru, so it's Genesis. The Pinot Grigio Ramato Cru is the Madonna d'Aiuto.
Okay.
And the Cabernet Sauvignon Cru is the Santuari.
Ah, okay. So all three of those wines are made in that place.
Three or four crus is in the same vineyard.
Wow.
It's really special.
Yeah. Okay. So that really is a special place for a lot of different types of grape varieties.
You think we have speak about excursions. You think that the biggest excursion we have one night in the end of July, we have like, I think 5 years ago, was like 37, 38 during the day.
Yeah.
And 11.5 during the night.
Wow.
Was incredible. More than 25 degrees.
You guys are really good at sort of like monitoring your vineyard situation. You have a lot of equipment where you can see exactly what's going on in all of your different vineyards, if I remember. You have like little stations in a lot of your vineyards where you can record temperature, rain, humidity. And how has that been useful to you as far as making the wines is concerned?
But really, that is important for to see, you know, the evolution of the season. No, sometimes this is important always for my brother, for to know how many rain, for to understand the humidity during the night. And I think if you have all these data, you have a better idea during the harvest what is happened all the season. For that, you can't know better what to expect to these grapes to this season. Yeah.
Okay. So we one thing that I wanted to talk to you about, because we talked about your red wine made from that vineyard, and we talked about the Sauvignon.
Yeah.
But you also make a Pinot Grigio from that, which is a bit different from your typical Pinot Grigio. So can you tell us a little bit about that Pinot Grigio? Was it Madonna d'Aiuto?
Yeah. In first, I think we need to speak about a little bit about indigenous varieties and international varieties.
Okay.
Logically, in the Colle Orientali Hills, we have many indigenous varieties, because we have Friulano, Ribolla Gialla, Verduzzo, Picolit, but Refosco dal Peduncolo Rosso, for example, Baschio Pettino, Tazzele, is really, really many. I think is the Colle Orientali is one of the terroirs in Italy with a really big biodiversity and a really big historical varieties.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a really long story always for the international varieties, like Pinot Grigio you're speaking about. It's, I think, more than 150 years.
Wow.
We made the Pinot Grigio in Friuli Venezia Giulia. So for that, originally, maybe it was not an indigenous variety, but for us now, it's an indigenous variety.
Right.
It's really many, many years. We have in our tradition this variety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like 100 years ago, logically, we don't have the technologies of today. and the contact skin with the grays was normal.
Okay.
Maybe the
even
people,
for the whites.
Even for the whites, yeah, of course, because now with the modern Pullman press, you can put out the juice really delicate and really easy. But one time with the old, come si dice, torchio.
The old, screw press, just the regular.
Screw pad. That was
or the vertical press, yes.
It was not possible to put out the juice. Was really, really difficult.
Okay.
For that, to maintain the skins in contact with the juice for normally a few days, the skins can a little bit more soft, and for that was more easy put out all the juice. I think the people in the world sometimes have a little bit of confusion about the Pinot Grigio, because the people is usual to drink white Pinot Grigio.
Exactly.
And the people don't know the Pinot Grigio is a pink variety.
Exactly.
So the skin of the Pinot Grigio is pink. So for that, 100 years ago, when you have the Pinot Grigio vinification, so some days in contact with the skins, part of the pink color go inside to the juice. Mm-hmm. So for that, the traditional Pinot Grigio was pink, not white.
Okay.
And really, always today, the real Pinot Grigio for us is pink, is not white.
Okay.
So white is a really interesting version of the Pinot Grigio, but the original one is pink. The Madonna d'Aiuto is we are looking to come back in our history and remake one Pinot Grigio with more similar than the historical, than the traditional we can.
Okay.
So for that, we have a quite totally fermentation with the skins.
Mm-hmm.
To put out the juice, we use the torchio.
The torchio, yeah, the vertical press. Yeah.
The vertical press, okay. And the maturation, after that, the maturation is in traditional Friuli barrel. Is not barrique. Friuli barrel is 700 liters. Slovenian oak is a little bit different to the French barrique.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's really more interesting because we think it's better for our wines,
Okay.
And
apart from the color, what do you find in a Pinot Grigio? And we don't usually call it pink. We call it Ramato, no?
Yeah.
You have this sort of coppery color. So people don't think that we're coming out with like this bubble gum pink.
No,
bubble pink. But we're talking about sort of like either an onion skin or towards this sort of coppery color.
Coppery color, yeah. So it's like orange with pink reflesso.
Okay, reflections.
Reflections, exactly.
So what does this contact with the skins give to the wine? What's different from that typical Pinot Grigio that we tend to know very well?
Logically, the extraction is not only the color. You have an extraction of all the polyphenolic part. What is meaning? So you find when you drink the Pinot Grigio Ramato, you can find more full body, more salinity, a small part of tannin. So for that, normally these wines come in your mouth really full, sometimes quite a little bit sweet, but when you finish your sip, your mouth is dry because you have this small part of tannins make dry your mouth.
Mm.
So for that, the sensation is incredible because the wine is really elegant, really delicate, but it's really molto deciso.
Very, very decisive.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of character.
Yeah.
So yeah, because very often in the world we have this image of Pinot Grigio being a bit simple.
Not the Colli Orientali Pinot Grigio, not the Pinot Grigio Ramato, of course.
Of course, of course. Yeah. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Yeah. So, because I wanted to talk a little bit about your selection wines. So, we've talked about Santuari, we've talked about Madonna d'Aiuto.
Yeah.
What was the other one that you mentioned?
Santuari, Madonna d'Aiuto, Genesis.
Genesis, okay, which is Sauvignon Blanc. These are your selection wines.
We have others. It's not only
what
that
else?
One.
What else is there?
It's Godia.
Godia.
And White Angel.
Okay.
And Dalpin.
Okay.
And really is six selections. Five of these six is single varieties.
Okay, so, I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, so it's not a selection like we mix together the varieties and we make our special wine. No, the special wine is because it's special, the terroir, not because we mix together something different.
Okay.
Sauvignon Blanc and... Genesis, Madonna d'Aiuto, and Santuari is international varieties.
Oh, okay.
In origin. And all together is in this special valley. I think probably, you know, it's, come si dice,
In Italian?
Ma non mi viene neanche in italiano adesso. è una cosa strana, no? Che si siano trovate tutte le varietà.
It's strange, it's odd that you find these three great wines in the same place.
Yeah, it's...
this place is obviously
very special.
È una
coincidenza.
You think it's just a coincidence?
It's coincidence, I don't know why. Okay, but...
And they're all international varieties. So
yeah,
Pinot Grigio,
really,
Sauvignon, and Santuari
really,
is...
It's Sauvignon Blanc, the Genesis, Madonna d'Aiuto is the Pinot Grigio, and the Santuari is the Cabernet Sauvignon.
Cabernet Sauvignon, okay.
You think the other three crew is in is down to Rosazzo.
Uh-huh,
is
okay.
In the other side of the hill, and is Godie, Refosco dal Peduncolo Rosso, Dalpin, Pignolo, and White Angel is... 60% Chardonnay, but inside is a Ribolla Gialla and Friula.
Mm.
Probably, you know, this coincidence, you know, in one valley is better for the international ones and the other one is better for the territorial ones, you know.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, and obviously we've sort of already answered this question, but what's the most important thing about the selection wines? Is it the place where they grow or is it the grape variety?
No, it's the place.
It's the place.
It's both together because, for example, we have this crew in different place. You know, some place is better for two, but probably that varieties, that valley, have the potential to bring out the potential of the terroir in that varieties.
Mm-hmm.
For example, probably the Refosco, the Pignolo, and the Friulano and Ribolla, they have a better potential in the other
vineyard.
In the other hillsides,
okay.
You know, for to bring inside to the grape all the potential of the terroir.
So what's different about that other hillside in Rosazzo?
Really, I think the Madonna d'Aiuto Valley, you have in the wines, you have a more mineral complexity, okay? I guess acidity is mineral complexity. And I think the micro mineral part is the most important in all the wines, because I think for the Sauvignon Blanc, for the Madonna d'Aiuto, and for the Santuari, the Cabernet Sauvignon, in reading the Cabernet Sauvignon, the fresh part of the spices, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we really looking for that. In the other part, I think it's really a little bit more full body wines. And I think you have more spices and more, I don't know, it's sometimes, you know, when we're speaking about flavors like fruits and spices, sometimes it's easy. But when you're speaking about the terroir potential and what you find in the glass, and when we're speaking in the glass, we find the terroir, sometimes it's not easy to explain.
Of course. Especially if you're just listening. It's easier if you're trying.
Yeah, it's easy to trying, yeah. But for example, in the Godia, we have really, I don't know, white, green, and black pepper, and we have a full...
Is that a warmer area on the other side in Rosazzo?
A little bit warmer, but we are always in the lower part of Rosazzo. We are not on the top.
Okay.
In the top, really, we make the fresh varietal varieties, so the fresh wines.
Ah.
And really, we prefer for the crew, we prefer the flat area. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
That
tends to be different than the normal.
Yeah.
People tend to put their best wines up on the hillside,
And for many producers, yes. But when we have tried the result in the glass, I think it's the glass speaking you.
Of course.
Have different blind testing, and sometimes always for us was really strange. So, but when we tried these wines in the valley, it was unbelievable. In the top, it was really good, but in the valley, it was unbelievable.
Is there something special about the soil in that valley that's
special from the soil, but special always for that we have speaking first? So these strong excursions and this long maturation in the valleys, making sight to the grapes more micro elements, and I think you find these micro elements in the glass.
Okay.
In the Godia area, probably these micro elements have an evolution like more spices and really special fruits, but normally you don't find this balance in the variety, but in this valley, yes.
Okay.
In the other part is really more minerality part.
Yeah. Okay. So we spoke before because I didn't want to not talk about the fact that you've gone organic.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously your respect for the nature and all that sort of stuff. So have you noticed a difference in your wines since you've changed over to organic? Is that something that you've noticed?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is changed. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you make bad grapes and now you make good grapes. And really, we see you have more seasonal expression, non stagionali, tutta l'annata.
Sort of balance during the season.
Yeah, balance during the season. So, you know, sometimes we're speaking, every harvest is different, you know? Okay, but sometimes when you have a dry harvest, sometimes you have problems because it's really dry. Sometimes when it's too much rain, sometimes you have you don't have a good maturation.
Okay.
Sometimes this is raining season.
It's a little, yeah.
But in really, when you have a really good balance in the soil, because what was the problem? When you use chemical things in the soil die.
Okay.
When you use only natural things, the soil can live.
Alive, yeah.
Alive, sorry. Yeah. And this life comes inside to the vines, and this life comes inside to the grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And logically, when the ground is alive, in a dry season, the maintenance of the water is more easy. When it's too much rain, if your ground is alive, the drainage of the soil is better. So for that, and I think you have an improving of the single expression of the single harvest. So I think the result is one time we have good harvest and bad harvest. Now we have only different harvests. Sometimes it's more full body because it's more hot. Sometimes it's more fresh harvest.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you have a more balanced or more typical for the terroir. But we don't have bad harvest. We have only different harvests.
Okay. You
know? The wines change a little bit every year. But we don't have biggest changements like in before. And I really love, we don't make... we don't make a bibita, you know?
You don't make a drink.
Yeah, we don't make a drink.
Yeah.
We make a product of hors terroir. So, and the product of hors terroir is the season is part of the terroir.
So going organic has almost sort of like leveled out the quality, like raised the quality, obviously, but it's also made the quality a little bit more consistent year to year.
You don't
have big years and bad years and good years and terrible years. You have sort of just different years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different years, but logically we have speak with when your ground is alive, the quantity of micro elements go inside to the fruit, inside to the grapes is really much more than when your soil is dying.
Okay.
You know.
And what were some of the big challenges that you had when you switched over to going to organic?
Sorry.
What were some of the challenges, the sfide? of becoming organic?
I think it's not a challenge. Many people think to make organic wine is more difficult than to make, technological wine. But really, that is not true. No. When you make organic wine, everything is in balance. The quality of your grapes growing up, and when you have the transformation from grapes in wine, everything is more easy. Really, today, when my colleague was in my winery, told me, last year was really fresh. I tried many wines. It's a little bit empty in the mouth when you try, you know? So, and we have opened like five of my wines, 2023, and tried the wines. I know, but your wines is full in the body, like a classic, something different, but it's really... really complex, you know.
Okay.
I think, this is the difference we have today.
And you think that is because of farming organically?
Yeah, not only organic. Because I think we make something more than organic. The discussion is too long to make in 1 hour. We need another 1 hour, maybe the next time. But for example, we have the bees in the vineyard.
Okay.
Because, it's one really delicate insect for that. If we don't have impact in the bees, we don't have impact for all the insects. Mm-hmm. But all the organic parts we bring out to the vineyards, like skins, stems or mm-hmm. or tralci, the bunch,
the canes, cut off during pruning. Yeah,
we put it all together in a tumulo,
a big pile.
And all this organic part go in decomposition normally in 2-3 years, and we use only this part for we put inside to the vineyard when we need. The organic tell you need to have the bees, you need to have your own organic consummation, mm-hmm. or you need to have 100% grass in the middle of the vineyard. No, the organic conduction don't tell you many things. But we make organic, but many other systems for respect everything. So I think we make something more than organic.
Oh, okay. Something more than organic.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so, that's really very interesting. So when we were talking about all of the different wines that you make, we talked about international and native varieties. Do you have a preference? Do you prefer native varieties or do you prefer local varieties? I mean, international varieties, sorry.
And really, I love the good wine. So, and for that, always the international varieties have really big results in the Colorentali. Logically, I think the connection with the indigenous varieties for us is really, really, it's in our DNA, you know? But for example, always the Pinot Grigio is in my personal DNA.
Really?
DNA, yeah, because it's really historical for us, yeah. Mm-hmm. For example, I am 50% because in the whites, I really love the Ribolla Gialla and the Friulano, but I love too the Sauvignon Blanc and the Pinot Grigio. And in the red varieties, I really love the Refosco da Peduncolo Rosso, mm-hmm. probably one of the ancient Italian grape varieties, because I think we have documents in Aquileia from the first 150 years before Christ. They're speaking about
Refosco.
Yeah, the Racimulus Fuscis, in the Latin language. Right. But for example, I think the Colorentali is one of the top areas, I think, in Italy for the Cabernet.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah. I really love the Friuli Cabernet, yeah.
So last question, because we're coming up on the end here, I wanted to ask, I don't know if anybody here understands it, but do you have un sogno nel cassetto? So do you have like a little dream that you have kept aside that you want to do one day?
It's a really difficult... But I hope, you know, our winery project is to make wines of really high level. And I think year by year, my project, my dream, you know, is improve than the quality of the wines and the you know, the Buttussi name in the wine market. So my dream is you know, in the next future, when you speak about Buttussi, speaking like one of the important wineries of Friuli or maybe from Italy, you know.
Okay.
My dream is to become a really important producer.
Okay.
That's my dream.
Okay. And you're well on your way, I think, because I've never tasted a wine of yours that I did not like.
I try. We try every year, you know, to improve, to make and to better, and yeah. every year, and we have a really good results.
Yeah, no, yeah. You're really your selection wines really just get better and better all the time, and I'm a big fan of Santuari, of your Cabernet Sauvignon, which is a big deal because there's not a lot of great Sauvignon, Cabernet Sauvignon in Friuli. There's some good ones, but yours is a great one. So
because all the others is in the top of the hill, mine is in the valley.
Yours is in the valley. Yeah. See that? You got to change the idea.
Maybe, probably.
Yeah. Mm. Cool. And so you have three children, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so do you think that they're going to follow your footsteps into the winery? Do you hope?
Know. For the moment is really young.
They're very young. How old are your kids?
Maddalena 11 years old, Giovanni Lorenzo 8.
Okay.
And but for my child, I think the best thing for me is they go in direction of their dreams, you know.
Okay.
If one of our dreams will be the wine sector in the future, probably I'm really happy about that. Mm. But it's not really important. It's important they go in the direction of their dreams.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. All right. Laika, are you there?
I'm here. Still here. Yes. Thank you so much for the great conversation. I am actually looking at your website, Filippo, and it's really amazing. I love the photos. It's beautifully done. And yeah, it's really great and wonderful conversation. So thank you so much for this time. That will be all. And thank you so much. And ciao a tutti. Ciao.
Grazie, Filippo.
Ciao, grazie a te.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.